welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas. Today, we are going to be talking about how long you should keep a seller of a practice for a transition. Before we do that, we want to remind people out there that we do have our practice startup boot camps, and please feel free to look into those. Feel free to follow our firm's website, mcgregorfirm.com, and you can find more information there. And also, if you get a chance, we love it when you leave a review. It helps people find us. But today, we're going to talk about a question that maybe doesn't get asked enough, and that is, how long should a seller stick around after a transition? Now, I'm going to cheat a little bit and pull the lawyer answer and say, it depends, but it really does. There is no right answer to this. Instead, there are a couple of factors you need to consider as a buyer, whether or not you're going to keep that seller around. And I'm going to say that these factors, one's not more important than the other by default. It is the case that they will be ranked, but you need to understand these factors and then rank them yourself dependent on the deal. So factor number one is economics. Most of the time, and this is certainly not universal, not right now either, as practices are being traded like playing cards, it seems. But traditionally, a seller does not have very much debt on the practice. A lot of times, no debt on the practice, but sometimes they'll have a little bit of debt. Whatever the case may be, it's not very common that the selling practice is laden in debt. And so they have a little bit more financial wherewithal than you will as a buyer, because when you buy that practice, you're probably going to borrow money. And that bank who lends you that money is probably going to want the money back in monthly installments. And that is immediately going to make it to where your standard of living is not going to be as great as the seller's. And that's not even talking about your other loans, like a house loan or your student loans. So day one, you need to think about the economics of keeping the seller. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. You don't want to go out of business keeping a seller whose business you just bought. The next consideration is skill set. Does the seller know how to do certain things that you as a buyer do not? And we see a pretty wide variety on this issue. Sometimes the sellers are more trained, and sometimes the buyers are more trained. And when I say trained, I mean diversity of procedures that they can comfortably and competently perform. And so sometimes it takes a little while. We just did a deal where the buyer is keeping the seller on for a little while because the seller does some procedures the buyer simply doesn't know how to do, wants to know how to do. The buyer probably has a wider skill set, but just not the exact same skill set as the seller, and once this skill is learned, probably moving on. The next factor is goodwill, genuinely goodwill. And goodwill is just generically, it's the ability for a seller to successfully encourage patients to go be treated by the buyer. And this is going to vary from patient base to patient base. You may have a certain patient base who probably isn't, or at least you assume, isn't really that loyal to the doc. For instance, Medicaid practices are notoriously like this. It may be the case that the doc doesn't have a strong bond with the patients and therefore not as necessary to keep them on. But if you have a doc who has been in the practice for 32 years, has treated three generations of these patients, or is tied into certain aspects of the community, or whatever the case may be, it may behoove you to keep that doc around to enhance the transfer of goodwill. It may benefit that community to see that the doc is still working alongside you. And finally, personality fit. I can't tell you how many times that leading up to a sale, buyer seller are hunky-dory. And then post-closing, somebody doesn't like the other person. And there are just myriad reasons why relationships flame out, but it happens. A lot of times, sellers have a hard time psychologically adjusting to the fact that they no longer own the practice, where a lot of times the sellers are genuinely interested in helping the buyer, but they see the buyer as, oh, some little know-it-all kid who thinks he knows how to do this. I've been doing this for the past four decades, and you should do it my way. And the buyer says, no, times have changed. We don't do it that way anymore, or whatever, and then just kind of spins out of control. We've seen a number of relationships kind of flame out, even though leading up to the close, they were best friends. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily imply that somebody was faking the relationship, although that does happen. Anybody can put on their game face to sell their practice, especially if it's a nice, expensive practice. But you need to do your best to assess the personality of the seller and try to project in the future. You can't know for sure, but do your best to project in the future. Am I going to get along with this person? And by the way, uncomfortable conversation gets talked about pretty often, where a lot of times we see people encourage you to think about, well, are buyer and the seller of different genders, different races, different religions, try to match them up. I'll be honest. I have not seen consistent patterns. Certainly, there are situations that don't work out and the buyer and seller are of different persuasions of one thing or another. But at the same time, some of our most successful practices have been situations where you would not think, according to conventional wisdom, that there would be a great personality fit, but there have. It gives me a lot of hope for things of that nature. But we have seen some great relationships work out despite the quote-unquote conventional wisdom that you need to match up as many factors, protected class factors, that you can. So I'm just not buying it. I can't fault the conventional wisdom, but I haven't seen that in actual practice. I've seen that affect more of the brokers or other parties involved rather than the actual buyer and seller. And finally, the last factor that I think you need to consider is leadership in the practice. Some sellers, like I said earlier, have a hard time letting go, and where that manifests itself is in the leadership of the staff. Some sellers have a very, very difficult time acknowledging that the practice is not theirs anymore. And where this comes in are like conflicting orders given to the staffers. The buyer says one thing and the seller says another, and the seller, rather than saying, oh yeah, my bad, I forgot, this is no longer my practice as of 2 days ago, instead, just kind of, whatever, and just keeps moving on. And it confuses the staff. They don't know who is the boss anymore, or they think they might know, but they really don't. And hey, they've just worked with this seller for the past 12 years. They've got a relationship. And with you, the buyer, they do not. They've known you for 3 days. They don't know if you're going to keep them or kick them out. They don't know anything. There's a ton of confusion. And sometimes that is exacerbated by a seller who doesn't know how to transition leadership. That's probably the hardest one to predict, because you just can't know until you're in it. But you need to try to do your best to analyze that person's personality and project whether or not you think that person's going to be good at transitioning this in the office, not just with the patients. And I think if you review those factors, you're going to go a long way to deciding, well, what type of transition? Is it just going to be a simple 2-week transition where they're in there for a few days to show you where the tape is and where they keep the secret files, whatever? Or is it something where you need to keep the seller around for 2 years to work alongside you, because you just can't, you simply can't keep up with the dentistry and you want to make sure that those patients transition with you? There are a lot of ways you can transition the seller out of the practice. Sometimes it's appropriate to move them out pretty fast, and sometimes it's appropriate to keep them on as long as you can, but there would never, ever, ever be a rule for this. You need to review those factors and to make your own business decision as to what you can do to achieve the most success with or without the seller's help. And that's all we have for today with this episode of Jaw Law. We look forward to seeing you next time. Let me know, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?